Welcome to the Between the Fur podcast, the show that allows professional mascot performers from the NBA and other pro sports to share their bizarre, funny and inspirational stories and give exclusive insight on what it's like behind the scenes and between the fur. Hosted by award-winning NBA mascot performer, Ken Solomon.
It's always great to connect with our listeners, so feel free to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify, and we'll read it on the next episode. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Between the Fur podcast. Appreciate y'all coming back. Appreciate y'all listening. And today we have a great guest on here, somebody from my past, Mike Walsh, the man, the myth, the legend here in Denver, Colorado. He was the mascot for, I knew him as the mascot for the Colorado Rapids, Rapid Man. But before we get into it, there he is flying across the screen. But before we get into it, let's hear from our sponsors, then we'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by Burr Bottles. Introducing the ultimate companion for your hydration needs, these durable, insulated aluminum water bottles. Crafted with high quality technology, Burr bottles are designed to withstand the test of time. With their cup holder friendly design, you can take them anywhere you go without any hassle. Burr bottles are engineered to retain the temperature of your favorite beverages for up to 24 hours, ensuring that your drinks stay refreshingly cold or piping hot throughout the day. Burr bottles are priced at a fraction of the cost compared to Yeti. So why settle for less when you can have it all and experience the perfect blend of quality, functionality, and affordability? Keep it chill with Burr Bottles. All right, we are back with Mike Walsh here, the former Rapid Man. Mike, welcome.
Hi. How are you? Ken, it is good to see you.
Good to see you. We were just saying that it's been, what,
2010,
last time we saw each other, and you've branched off from there. You disappeared and then went and created all kinds of other stuff in the world, sounds like.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Hey, before all that, let me do a little bio on you. So this will give you a little intro. People will know who you are. So Mike Walsh was diagnosed with Usher syndrome, type 2C, around his 20th birthday. However, his symptoms did not start to affect his life for another 10 years. Upon his 35th birthday, he chose to not to renew his driver's license, and a whole new life began. I got to get into that. A few years later, in 2014, with the help of friends, social media talent, and a sense of adventure, Flight for Sight was born. He traveled the world and raised awareness about vision issues. In 2019, he met Rosalie, I hope I say her name right, Rosalie Chandler, who helped him believe that Flight for Sight could be turned into a nonprofit. A pandemic and a few years later, Flight for Sight was officially a 501c3 nonprofit with the dream of giving others the opportunity that Mike had. Mike worked for New York City Public Schools from 2016 to 2022. He worked a range of grades from K-12, which included students with autism and emotional disturbance. Ooh, that sounds like a lot. Mike has also lived extensively in Colorado and Wisconsin. In Colorado, he was a professional mascot for 10 years. In Wisconsin, he was a board member and helped social media Breakfast Madison form into an official nonprofit. I want to hear about that too. He was also the first person hired to focus on social media at the Wisconsin Athletics Department. In the summer of 2022, he played for Team USA Blind Baseball and won a bronze medal at the WBSC International Blind Baseball Cup. Today, Mike is excited about his life and building Flight for Sight in New York City. Bada boom, hello. Mic drop. There we go. Oh. Mike, welcome. I'm glad you're here. And, you know, a few, I got to say this before, let me say this too. So Mike reached out to me a little while back and he said, hey, you know, been listening to the podcast, which I appreciate. He says he's suffering from a condition which puts him in pretty much permanent, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you said pretty much permanent a mascot vision.
Yes. And who knew that my career in mascotting would lead to this learning how to live life now today with my lack of peripheral vision. So all that training, all that work is familiar to the way my life is today.
Right. So first of all, when did that, you say that started way back around your 20th birthday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's around 1997. Well, probably fairly shortly right before you may have met me when I was in Colorado at Colorado, but yeah, I've known about it that whole time. However, I don't want to sound brave or anything. I never knew that my symptoms would really progress, which I should have, because when doctors and parents are telling you, this is called genetics, this is going to happen, you can't eat well, exercise well, and prevent genetics from happening. And my brother had the condition as well, so I should have taken notice from him, but I was very like... kind of a, you know, your typical hardcore punk 20-year-old.
One thing that I knew about you back then is your hearing situation as well. There was a little bit of a... So explain that.
Yes, yes, good point. So my whole life, I've been hearing impaired. That was discovered, I think, around my second birthday. I was the oldest child and the first child with a hearing impairment. Obviously, later on, my brother had it, but he's much younger, so that was discovered earlier. But, yeah, so my whole life I've had hearing aids, and my hearing's been pretty good. If over time my hearing's gotten better, why? Because technology has gotten better. My hearing has been stable, so the technology has allowed it to be even better because it can further allow me to hear better. So that's a good thing. But yes, one of the challenges, of course, mascotting is preventing them from getting wet, moisture in them, and also being able to hear when I have a head on. There's always different challenges, different kinds of heads. But it worked out pretty well. There weren't too many issues, I would say, that really stand out. But obviously, getting them wet and, you know, it's costly when they get wet and damaged and so forth.
Wow. I was always, you know, in awe about your situation because... You know, being a mascot, I knew how I relied on my hearing when my vision was impaired. And people always say, you know, how do you balance on that? And how do you, well, a lot of it's hearing. It's really interesting because, you know, of course I've never dealt with, and I don't pretend to know what it's like to have, you know, any kind of impaired hearing or vision or anything like that. But I do remember having once I did one game where I had an earpiece that could, you know, communicate with our game director and back and forth. Actually, I could just hear, so I couldn't communicate back, but I could hear what was going on. And the idea was that, you know, I would get verbal cues directly from the director of the game. And I took it out halfway through the game. Halftime, I was like, that's got to go. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, too much, yeah.
Too much. There was, first of all, there was chatter in my ear, but it really threw off my balance. Climbing on stuff, I was always climbing on stuff and balancing and walking on rails and things like that. And boy, it really threw me off. Then I also, you know, thought about what your situation, your hearing aids. Obviously, you wore them while you were working, and you know, then the sweat. You talk about the you know, getting them wet and things like that. I mean, that's all we do. I mean, we'll lose 10 pounds in a game, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was an issue for you, I'm sure. But also taking just cues from just working a crowd, you hear so many different things from all around you, and it's hard to pinpoint those things. hearing as well as I do. I couldn't even imagine having some issues there. And then, you know, to move to vision, you know, have you done any mascot work since you left Colorado?
Not really. No, nothing since 2011, I would say. You know, you eventually miss it. You kind of want to, like, you want the gig, like, you want to do it once in a while. It was an amazing lifestyle where, you know, it was an incredible, you get paid to work out, essentially, you know, in your 20s and your 30s, you're always trying to figure all that out. But yeah, one job I did pursue, they asked me, could I drive? And I was just like, no, but it was in New York City. And I was like, you know, I'll get there. But that was all before the pandemic. So I haven't pursued anything since then. So that's the answer to that.
Yeah. Wow. So how did you get into the mascot world in the first place?
1994, fall of 1994, the first big moment was, I remember asking my friends at a football game, hey, if I go down there and spell out Edgewood, would you repeat after me, like, give me an E? And so they were like, yeah, go do that. And so I did that in front of the cheerleaders, and the crowd response was just incredible. And I was like, oh, well, that worked out. And, you know, cheerleaders are like, oh, well, maybe be a mascot or something, if I recall. And so literally the next game, I got a cape, a suit. It was a Crusader, and it was an open mascot. So, and I put face paint on. And so for the rest of the year, I was Crusader Mike. I was on the news that night, and I was like, I'm Crusader Mike. Go Edgewood. And so it started off that way. And it was affirmation. People were like, oh, that's really good. You know, being able to say, give me an E, and have that response. And then you're like, okay, this is kind of working. And what am I, 17 years old at this time? This is my senior year in high school. So there was a moment there kind of like, oh, I've always kind of wanted to do this. Madison, Wisconsin, born and raised, you know, Bucky Badger was kind of a fixture. As you know, you were inducted in the Hall of Fame with him. Rocky was. And so I was sort of influenced by that. And I just remember someone, maybe when I was a freshman or senior in high school, or freshman or sophomore, there was a senior, I think, who did give me an E, and I had remembered her and the response. And so it took a few years to generate the courage to be the mascot. And it was senior year in high school where I joined the play. Everything happened like, oh, I got to do this. That's the impotence of my first mascot moments.
So how did you get to the Rapids?
Yeah. So mascotting never stopped, really. And that was one of two high schools I was the mascot at. So I went to the University of Richmond for 1 year, and I was the spider there.
Spider.
Yes.
That's
eight
awesome.
Arms, three extra ones hanging.
No way. Love
Spidey
that.
The spider. Mascotting never stopped. Every opportunity I had to keep doing it from then on. And so my sister was going to the University of Colorado, and my parents were just telling me, like, you know, this seems more like you, this environment, this athleticness, the athletic area, the mountains. And so the rest is history in some ways after that. And that moment, I can only imagine if I had stayed out east, where my life would be. But, and then from there, it's, you know, I remember I transferred and the mascot program had tryouts probably in the spring. So I had to wait a whole year to try out for Chip the Buffalo. But during that year, you know, I was learning about how to stay in shape. I joined the triathlon team. You know, Colorado, of course, is known for triathletes training and high altitude. So I got into the world of athletics pretty quickly. And yeah, once I earned the gig at Chip as Chip, it was that was a moment that was really great, and I had a lot of support. People were like, "Oh, that's awesome!" And I remember I was in a fraternity, and so much support around that. And you know, when I did games and so forth. One thing I want to not forget is one of the things that made me super cool in college was this gun in my hand that you that we bought. The University of Colorado bought from you, your side business, if I understand correctly.
Yep, my little
you know,
side
you were always doing
hustle.
Things on top of, yeah. And That's kind of when I started to meet you for the first time. It might have been at a mascot gig when I was Chip before that, but I remember driving to your home and picking up this gun and just like, and then when I shot that at Folsom Field, and I was shooting it out of the stadium, it was amazing. I always remember that. And, people just going, "What was that? How did you get that?" And I'm like, "I don't know. That I just went to this guy's house." And, Ken, I had known you, but yeah. And so, I mean, as you can imagine, from there to the Rapids, it was just that there was a guy there who was Rapid Man before me. He just kind of was like, "I'm retiring. I've seen you around at different mascot events," I think it was. And he's like, "I think you could do this." And I was kind of maybe a senior, junior, finishing up my college, and that was the perfect segue into the world of mascotting. Yeah.
I love it. That's right. I remember those little early interactions. Yeah. And those guns, man, those were fun.
Yes, you
Whoo!
made a gun that could shoot a t-shirt out of Folsom Field. So.
Yeah. I remember I made one for the Rockies and I went down to home plate at Coors Field and shot one from home plate up behind home plate into the street behind. Like up and over the stadium.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so high.
And
Yeah.
yeah, into the street outside. But I figured, hey, if I'm gonna make a gun, I'm gonna make it powerful. Well, so being Chip and then moving to a professional team, was it anything like my experience? My experience was you go out there in college and clap, and the whole place claps. You go out there and fall down, and everybody laughs. You go out there and raise your arm, and everybody cheers. Go to professional sports, and yeah, you got to work. You got to work for that cheer. You got to do something that makes sense to people to make them
Yeah.
clap. It wasn't just like, yeah, there's the mascot. Ah.
Tradition is pretty amazing in colleges where you just kind of are inserted into what the traditions are in many ways. Yeah, I remember for the Rapids, it's soccer, so there's only so many fans. I was of the character where I enjoyed, like I said, I had this triathlon background. I love being in shape where I could just go hit as many people as possible. That was my skill set.
And he would literally hit them. So just so you know, he had these soccer gloves on. I always admired that. Just kidding. Didn't.
Yeah.
No, but
And
you covered that field. You covered the crowd. You really worked. And I really could relate and appreciate that. There's so many mascots that just will go out and stand there, and wait for people to either come to them or they'll just, walk a little ways and wave and walk a little ways and wave. That was not you.
Yeah, you learn early on in mascot training to always be moving. And yeah, someone's always gonna have your eye on you. It's very humbling to always want to be in character. And yeah, 'cause someone will catch you if you're taking a break.
Lot of people don't get that. A lot of mascots don't get that. This podcast I do to educate and inspire. And I like when I can have somebody on here that has branched out, that has worked other deals as well, and learned from the experiences in costume, and have a good work ethic. So, tell me about after. I want to come back to experiences, stories, funny, experiences, but talking timeline wise and what you've done since, go ahead and explain a little bit more about your bio and what this flight for sight is.
Yeah, thank you for letting me be on here to talk about, everything post mascotting. I was working hard to figure out how to relate it to, my past mascot life. And yeah, I've started a company and it's very much a startup, and I'm always on the move, think there's new things happening all the time. And I relate it to, like I was talking earlier about, the Colorado Rapids were very when I was there, a very new league, where I think it might have been year five, the league had actually contracted from 12 to 10 teams in my second full season. So, these are early days. And so I learned a lot about being a part of that kind of startup world. You find your people who are super passionate about what they're doing. My boss, Kieran Kane, forever will always be my boss in my mind. He was my first real boss. He loved soccer. And it's funny, I had this idea like, oh, I'm going to do MLS. I'm going to go to Major League Baseball, NFL, and NBA. I have a trajectory, steps, right? But granted, I attempted that and I got so far. But the beautiful thing is, through my boss, through the World Cup, through this fan base that is Major League Soccer and soccer in general around the world, the sport I started to really enjoy the sport and really like the sport. And all that starts with people that you work with that really are really into what they do and the sport. I just thought like, oh, everyone here, this is a stepping stone for them. And that's the case for some people. But having met the people that were hardcore soccer, and they were all in, that really rubbed off on me. And so I guess I've always been into this startup idea. Like I left, after 10 plus years of mascotting, with a startup idea. I left Colorado, went back to Wisconsin, my hometown. And I always had this mindset of just, oh, I want to try this out, try that out. And let's see, social media, of course, was very new around that time. And I had started doing stuff even when I was with the Rapids. I created a website, rapidman.com, because I was trying to make more money, get private appearances. I wanted to be you. I wanted the van. I wanted, more gigs, a little bit more money. But because of that hustle, I learned a lot of lessons. It really formed me and just made me harder. And, you learn about relationships, you learn about how to be organized, and I don't know. And technology was always changing, so I kind of always liked to work with it. And you can obviously, social media blew up in your time. It went from, we probably had 10 channels when you started mascotting to where it is today. I don't know. I was always on the move, on the hustle. And so back in Madison, Wisconsin, I started working in social media, and that was something I started with the Rapids, trying to promote the characters. And of course, that's a whole separate story. Going from AEG to KSE was an amazing learning experience about business, but we can talk about that later. So, having learned all these social media skills, and then that on top of I was dating a flight attendant,
Bonus.
I recommend it. So social media, dating a flight attendant. We stopped dating, but I still had this pass so I could travel. And I thought to myself, okay, and I'm losing my sight. And a lot of my friends and family aren't really too sure about what's happening. And so I was like, okay, I have this pass, social media, losing sight. Let's create something interesting. I post on Facebook, I'm losing my sight. Where should I go? And it just kind of blew up. Like, oh, go to New Zealand, go to New York, and this, go here and there. And everywhere I went, I did something that was related to learning about vision issues and talking to other influencers. And so I had this Facebook page, and this is back when you didn't have to pay for reach. So the reach was really good. And so everywhere I went, I met people. And one of those people was a man named Gordon Gund. I'm just going to name drop real big here. Gordon Gund, of course, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers for a long time.
That's
He
where I
is a
knew that
founder
name.
of the Foundation Fighting Blindness. And he's also the guy that won the lottery and drafted LeBron James. But one of the major things that happened to us last year was, I reached him. And so I'd interviewed him in 2014, met with him. And so last year I reached him again, and we chatted and like how everything's going. And he gave us a $30,000 matching grant, which we raised enough money to match that pretty quickly. And amongst other donations, we were able to fund this second year.
That's huge. Yeah, so you developed this, and where'd you get the name?
Oh, Flight for Sight.
Uh-huh.
It worked out. I was working.
Is that the flight attendant? That
no,
ties
I,
to the...
I met someone else who helped me out in the 2014, and we came up with the name together. But yeah, that I'm really proud of the name. That name works out well, and the logo, I'm really happy with it. Anyone looking to start any kind of business out there who needs a logo, I found a logo. I think I paid like $100 for it on Fiverr. The guy created it. I was like, this is amazing. I could have paid 10 grand for what I paid for that logo.
So you're in New York now.
Yes.
And you've been there for how long?
I've been there since 2015.
And how is it there day to day? What's your purpose now?
Yeah, so this is my full-time job, getting this together. It's been a grind and a challenge, but there is definitely a pathway. And like I said, the fundraiser we made, we have the runway for 2014 where we're giving three $10,000 grants out to people who are blind and low vision. And this is first and foremost. I wake up and I'm working on this, and then, you know, as long as I can. And I have the option to work at home, of course. I'm on a stand-up desk. I'm always in between getting my workouts in, recognizing, you know, the value of still being in shape, eating well, trying to, you know, 46, as we all know, as you know, I know you've interviewed a lot of past mascots, as we're all learning, like there's always things to stay on top of. The beautiful thing about New York City, for people with disabilities, especially, I want to promote, is that there's a lot of options in terms of transportation. There's this thing called AccessoRide. There are different programs. I'm on a program that allows me to take an Uber and Lyft all over the city for $4.
What?
And it's just incredible the investment the city makes in people with disabilities.
That's great.
They go above and beyond, I want to say, in terms of what the ADA requires. So they just understand the value of, you know, a city that's very diverse, people from all walks of life, and the different things that they can bring to, you know, the city. And, you know, I hope I'm creating something along with my colleague that we are giving back to the city and, of course, the world. If anyone out there knows anyone who's blind, low vision, send them our way and just check out what we're doing.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate you sharing that. And I hope people take advantage of that. You know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted y'all in here today to, you know, to talk about that. And I want to ask you this. This kind of shifts gears a little bit. But what is... you know, I've got a friend of mine, speaking of, you know, starting businesses, I'm sitting right here in the back of my gym, which I've created a studio in. It's a kickboxing gym, but I have a guy that comes in who's deaf.
Uh-huh.
And he gets right underneath the speaker. So all he can, he's not deaf. He is very hearing impaired.
Spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got some real, you know, strong hearing aids. He doesn't wear them during class because he can't. For some reason, it doesn't work very well for him. But he plants himself right underneath the speaker, and he can feel, you know, he can feel the bass, he can feel the, you know, the music, and you know, because we blare it in here. But one of the things that he deals with on a day-to-day basis is depression. And so let me ask you, did you go through any of that? You know, you've been hearing impaired since you were young. You pretty much know no difference. And however, I'm sure you've dealt with being, you know, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure there's been times when you're like, ah, sucks to be different. But now, you know, having your vision all of a sudden closing in on you, is that, you know, what does that do for you mentally?
Interestingly enough, you brought it up earlier. Like you alluded to the fact that you always knew I was hearing impaired. when I was mascotting before. But, you included and no one else, a lot of people just don't ask, right? They don't, you might have had questions back then, like, what are your challenges, right? But there's a very, there's a, people are sensitive, overly sensitive. People can ask me anything, and that, because education, like, ask and then learn.
And
And so,
can I
yeah.
interject here real quick?
Go ahead.
I'm learning now that that's okay, but it's
Yeah.
taken me this long to understand that those are conversations that can be had and that are probably welcomed in most cases.
Yeah.
I talk to my friend all the time about his situation and what his challenges are, and I love the fact that he's got like four bass speakers in the back of his car just to feel it when he drives down the road. So,
Yeah.
anyways, but.
It's interesting. The more you ask, the more awkward questions you may ask, the more interesting the answers are going to be. You're finding your friend has four bass speakers. You're like, oh, what's that like?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you, but I, let's get down to it. Let's get hard. Growing up, I think my hearing impairment led to a lot of shyness, a lot of like, oh, I'm not good enough. And even through college, there was definitely that feeling. And what's funny enough, I would say, when I did the traveling around the world in 2014, that actually was a turning point for me socially, because I was doing this thing, it was mission based, and I was like going out dating, I was using Bumble, I think, it became, and I would put it in my profile, and it became a topic of conversation immediately. They'd be like, oh, tell me about this. By the way, you want to hang out too? It was like, huh, a disability. You realize there's a point where a disability is interesting to other people. Now, I mean, everybody's unique in this world. So take your peculiarities, whatever, your disabilities, whatever your challenges are, and put it out there, because there's so many people out there. And what I'm trying to get at is like Bumble, Tinder. So many people will see my profile. Some will just be like, oh, this person's hearing impaired or deaf or blind. Like, I don't want to talk to them. But the thing is, some people are going to be very interested. And so it was very interesting in that, like, where I realized, oh, this is really fun to share with people, because people are interested, to learn about what I'm doing. I would get messages like from people. The fun story I like to tell is, so I was traveling home and I was in the Detroit airport, probably just swiping away. And like a day later, someone contacted me on my Facebook page, because I had it in the profile, probably saying, oh, I saw that. I saw what you're doing. My family has issues with blindness and so forth. And immediately, a few days later, I flew back over to Detroit, hung out with this person, and went to Ann Arbor, and she set me up with a blind teacher to talk about blindness. All because I put myself out there to allow the world to come to me. And so, as I was just getting at, yes, there was this long period of time, probably well into my 30s, where there was a certain shyness, and I felt insecure. But then it just happened where, like, oh, if I show what I am, there are people that out there that'll be interested and want to learn more about what I'm doing. And so, really, just building off of that idea,
I
is,
love
yeah.
that. I was thinking today about another chapter in my book, and I that I'm about to write
Nice.
or to put on paper, and I don't know. I think the chapter is going to be called, I don't know for sure, and don't quote me on this, but it's probably going to be called Run. And I think I've shared this before in another episode or two, probably, but there's a lot of times when, early on, especially when I didn't know what to do. At a timeout, they would call something late in the game, oh my gosh, it's a hot timeout. And, the game director's like, God, send,
Do something.
do something, go. And, there were so many times when I had no clue what to do. I felt like I had gone through my menu for the evening you know, and Man. Gone into the bank and exhausted that. Now I've got nothing. And, you know, go. They come across the radio. My assistant's like, go. They're just calling for you. They're calling for you. Go. So I just run. I just take off. Out of the corner, out of the tunnel, I'd run out there and hoping for something to happen, you know, that I could play off of, or the DJ would switch the song to, or I'd see a fan, or I, you know, something. But I would literally run out there with nothing. I felt blind, basically, running out there hoping for, you know, something to come along. But it took that effort to get out there. It took that leap of faith. It took that step into the darkness, basically. And I'm sorry I'm using all these cliches. But, you know, for me, and so this actually kind of helps in, you know, this chapter that I'm going to write. But, you know, it takes doing. It takes getting off your butt. It takes, you know, trying. Doing,
finding out what works.
What works? Throwing something against the wall. You have to throw something against the wall to see if it sticks. So it takes that effort. And
I did a little bit of research before this, and I've always thought, said to myself, it's kind of is that Michael Jordan missed a lot of shots to be the best player in the world, and the number is 14,654 shots, including postseason, the Atlantic. Or the Athletic, right? I found it from there. But I like that cliche. It's simple, but that's how he became the best in the world, by missing 14,654 times.
It's such a great call. I mean, that's what a great number. I'm relating that right now to the situation that my son's in right now. And you know, when you step into costume and you're following somebody that's done it forever, you're not going to be as good. And with all the comments that I've, you know, gotten, oh man, hey, he's not as good as you, or, you know, whatever. I'm always like, hey man, believe me, I didn't start out where I ended for sure. There's no way I was anywhere near this. In fact, if we went back and looked at the tapes, you're looking at two different, you would think two different people are in there. So, you know, it's a learning process. It's a trying. It's a failing. You don't get anywhere unless you fail. And I'm sure you have stumbled just like I have, or, you know, dealt with situations that I haven't dealt with. And boy, but look at you, you know, you've kept going. You've built on, some things that you could have just let, you know, demolish you. But I so can appreciate where you're going and what you're doing, and the constant day-to-day and day in, day out, trying and working and building. That's it's a real great trait and work ethic.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see all the different, you know, opportunities or shots people are taking that are, you know, post mascot life. I have great admiration for, I remember those days of the mascot days, the Robert Bodwin, Scott Hessington. And it's interesting to see them continuing to do different things. But yeah, those are fun times. And we were just always, you were the man with all the experience. And I can only imagine what that was like for you. It was kind of you, and then kind of Dinger came along. And obviously the Rapids were much later, and then even Miles was after the Rapids. Interesting perspective, but we all kind of were like, you know, I always looked up to you, and I was always appreciative of any stories that you were telling. When the whole you NBA guys got together, I was always listening to your stories.
Got a little crazy back in the day, but you know. So speaking of stories. Give me a memory or two or something that you know, being in costume, you uh, experience. Ugh. Give me, yeah, loosen up. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
Ouch. My left knee hurts. No. stories, I mean, I was making notes of them, and there never is enough time to talk about them. But how about, we'll do college and then professional, starting with college. We told you, I talked to you about the gun story. Let's see, what else happened in college? You know, I was sending messages to my friends telling them I was going to be on a podcast with you. Like, what do you guys remember about my mascot career? One of them shot back a message about a little something that happened with the Nebraska mascots, plural. So obviously it's just Chip. But Nebraska would come into Boulder. And so let's get the year right. 2000, must have been 98, 2001. Yeah, I want to say fall of 2001, Nebraska came into Boulder. And, you know, the thing that you do is you talk with the other mascots beforehand. We did that. We had a great conversation. Yep. And so Herbie Husker, Little Red, you know, I never spent much time in those blow-up dolls, but blow-up mascots, sorry. What did I just say?
Yeah. Oh.
It was, yeah, that's one thing I would still love to try. But Little Red somehow came
we
down to the other end, because it's not easy to get to the horseshoe end, if you're familiar with it, I'm sure. And Herbie Husker, and we just had a snowball fight. And I have a tape of it somewhere. Hopefully the tape has not degenerated. This is back in 2001. We don't have smartphones, people. Mm-hmm. We had a snowball fight, and the whole crowd was into it. We were down in the game, and, you know, people would tell me, like, you helped us bring it all the way back. And, you know, the next day or two, I probably got a yelling, a shellacking, just like, I think I was told we caused a national timeout, and I'm just like, oh, okay, shouldn't have done that. But the crowd was into it. You start to, the older you get, you understand it's a business. You need to pay attention to all these other elements happening and make sure you fit in right. But that was a memory I have. You know, people are like, oh, that was incredible snowball fight. Another thing that stands out, I'm going to get boring professionally, was, as I was alluding to before, was the KSE buying the Colorado Rapids. And that's just like, you know, you learn a lot about business and how things go. You know, I was working with all these people. Some of them were let go. And then KSE comes in, and they, as they should have, and that was very good for MLS, because when there were 10 teams, maybe at that time, AEG, Philip Anschutz, owned probably five of them. I mean, you don't hear that. It's one owner owning half the teams. And so that was the right thing to do to make sure that MLS continued growing. But I had the experience of being involved with that. They went from going, okay, we're not going to have Rapid Man anymore. And so I was like, okay, you know, there's kind of like a crisis, like, what's going to happen? Do I still have a job? And even my boss, like, I don't know what's happening, you know, naturally. And then started hearing, oh, we're going to have four characters. And so KSE buys us new colors, four new mascots. And then it was a good experience in that I had the opportunity to kind of be in charge of all these mascots, coordinate things. And I remember we started doing dances together. There's just a lot of moving parts, and that gave me some responsibility to work with management more in terms of getting everything going. Appearances everywhere, every which way, different mascots going different places. But that was a unique experience, being involved with that. So that's something that stands out. Also, another thing that stands out in terms of something that was a ton of fun is working with the National Guard. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to fly in these helicopters that they would do, where we'd land in the schools and talk about, you know, not using drugs and so forth. And I just remember, like, waking up early mornings and just going into the National Guard office, talking about the flight plan, going to five schools, four schools today. You know, I was flew in a Black Hawk, Huey, OH-58, I think it was called. Just landing in schools, having fun, and just kind of
seeing all the kids on a daily basis. And those were long nights because they were in the fall and we were always promoting a game. So as a mascot in this early startup E phase of the MLS, 10 teams at what I started with, I looked today, there are 29 teams today. These are early days, and I was giving out flyers. And so imagine that challenge, being a mascot, trying to be like, fun with a flyer, right? They had me on Pearl Street Mall giving out flyers. And so, that was just hardcore and like, all right,
I don't do flyers.
yeah,
I
yeah.
learned early on I don't do flyers.
Yeah, but yes, that it was just about getting the word out about the
Yeah.
Rapids. We have a big game coming up. It wasn't,
Nobody
we weren't.
knew, nobody knew the Rapids, let alone knew soccer, let alone, yeah.
Yeah, and it
So you
feels
had to
good to
spread the
have been a
word.
part of that.
Yeah, you grew that. I think the whole helicopter thing, you got more than I'd ever did. I did that a couple times, but it sounds like, yeah, you
Oh,
were
yeah.
in the air
I
a
did
lot
like
more than
four or
me.
five years or something. They gave me a medal at the end. And I was like, and that just kind of relates to a common thing in business. Like when you look back, relationships built. And going back to CU, University of Colorado, if I may say, one of the things I'm most proud about is all my relationships with them. I'm constantly texting old CHIP team alumni. We're still very involved with each other. We're trying to start a scholarship for them. And so things are still happening. A lot of turnover happening there. Obviously, a lot of unique excitement for obvious reasons. Dion has brought all this amazing, it's been amazing. That's all I can say. And so I'm very proud of those relationships. And again, my professional relationships, there's people out there that are, I think, are pretty incredible for the mascot industry. Things, of course, Dave Raymond has done with the Mascot Hall of Fame. You got your Glenn Streets of the world. They're just kind of still there all these days, and they have a lot of stories to tell. I have to give a shout out to Brad Post. He's someone who's always been, still someone I can communicate with today.
He's a good dude.
Incredible dude.
What a good talk. You still have the same personality. I love it.
I'm
You're
trying.
awesome, man. You're
Yeah,
awesome.
no, congratulations with Rocky and your son, and that transition is pretty cool, I think. I saw a YouTube video of you just on the news one night, and just the incredible mo your movements, your awareness of what they're saying, and just like, I was like, oh my God, that's Ken. Yes, it was a confetti gun, and it was like, oh, the timing. I was just like, wow, okay, that's what made him timing. And you just had a set of movements, just like, yes.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Well,
Anyways.
a lot of time in costume, a lot of time, a lot of hours. What do they say? 10,000 hours or attempts or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I had right around there, but yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate the compliments. Mike, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you. Real quick, give a shout out to how people can, or give a shout out with your info.
Yes, you can contact me at Mike@FlightForSight, MIKE at FlightForSight.net. And yeah, just ask away. I'm Mike G. Walsh all over the internet. Also, Flight for Sight is Flight for Sight all over the internet. We have that name on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Thank you for, yeah, if you check us out. And Ken, seriously, it's fun to rehash everything. I did a lot of thinking about the past, and it was kind of wild to go back. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's fun to see everything that's happening and continuing in the mascotting world. And keep at it. Keep at it, dude.
Will do. Will do. Appreciate you, man. Have a wonderful day. Thanks again. And hey, thanks for everyone for listening to Between the Fur.
All
Peace.
right, thank you.
Thank you for listening. And now you know that there is a person inside there, a living, breathing human with emotions and feelings. If you would like your friends and family to know what is between the fur, please share. See you next time on Between the Fur.